And continue standing if you're able. And we're going to go back to where we started last week. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verses 1 and 2. Continuing with the theme, continuing to stand faithful. The year is about at a close, and we're going to go into 2018, and we want to continue being faithful. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So we want to continue standing, not just in 2017, but continue standing into 2018. And we want to be faithful. We began looking at that last week, and we'll finish up this week talking about being faithful. Everybody at 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 1 and 2 say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's read those together. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Amen. Father, bless now as we consider our faithfulness. God, help us to be faithful to you first and foremost, Lord, faithful to do what you would have us to do. And Lord, we know it's required that a steward be found faithful. So Lord, may we be found faithful, not just here in 2017, but as the doors of 2018 open, help us to be faithful in that which you would have us to do. Lord, I pray if there's a man, woman, boy, or girl under the sound of my voice here without Jesus Christ today, they would see and sense their need that he was born for them personally, that he was born in a manger long ago. He was born to die upon Calvary. And Lord, as a result of that, we have eternal life when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, repenting of our sins and turning to him for eternal life. And Lord, maybe someone today needs to do that and make a decision. And I pray for that man, woman, boy, or girl. But then perhaps someone needs to pray about being more faithful in the close of 2017 into 2018. I pray that man, woman, boy, or girl may be more faithful to you. Thank you again for loving us, Lord. Meet our need today, blessing the children's area and in the nursery. And may you get all praise, honor, and glory. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Brother Fred and his group has a special this morning, Silent Night.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight. Glory streams from heaven afar, heavenly hosts sing alleluia. Christ the Savior is born, Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face. with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Silent night, holy night, wondrous star, lend thy light. With the angels let us sing, Alleluia to our King. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born.
Thank you, Fred. Thank you, guys. I appreciate that. And Mariah, amen. What a blessing to know about the silent night. And it was definitely a holy night. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to continue talking about continuing to stand faithful in the new year. And as we close out this year, we gave you some preliminary thoughts last week. We're going to continue with that. And, you know, if we're not known for being anything, you know, we ought to be known for being faithful, constantly reliable. Amen. And by the way, the worst thing that you can do is to be a quitter. Amen. Nobody likes a quitter. You know, I watch children playing games. And, you know, as I grew up, amen, sometimes if one team would be losing, then somebody inevitably would say those fearful words that you hate to hear. I quit. They didn't want to be faithful to finish out the game. I quit. And so, you know, you're left with four players, or you're left with three players, or eight players. And they say, I quit. That's it. I give up. Amen. We found out that the definition for faithful means to be constantly reliable or trustworthy to continue. It says there, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. So we found out last week that we want to be faithful as ministers and then faithful to be maintainers of the mysteries, because that mystery is something that people need to hear. How Christ died for their sins, was born again, was buried and raised again the third day so that people can be born again. And that is a thing that we want to be careful to maintain as ministers of God's righteousness. And by the way, we have a mandate according to verse number 2. Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found how? Faithful. The word means constantly reliable or trustworthy to continue. Synonyms would be constant, dependable, dedicated, devoted. You know, we don't want to be known as a quitter. Opposite of faithful is a quitter. Now, during this time of the year, there's certain things that we probably would like to quit. We would like to quit our diets. I mean, we don't want to watch what we eat during this time of the year. We want to eat whatever we want to eat, when we want to eat it. We want to quit a diet about this time. About this time, children want to quit homework and quit going to school. Amen. They want to get that break. Amen. Adults want to quit working. Amen. They want to get to that time of retirement where you can sit back and go fishing all day. Amen. We want to stop correcting. We're tired of correcting children all the time. We say, I want to quit this correcting. But you know what? We have to be faithful in correcting. We have to be faithful in working. And yes, we have to be faithful in dieting. We have to watch what we eat. Amen. You say, preacher, what happens if we don't? You'll be the size of this church. Amen. And you don't want to be that way. Amen. And so we defined faithful as constantly reliable last week. And then we saw what's the duty of the faithful. We found out it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And we looked at three things we should stand in and continue in. Stand in stewarding the gospel. That verse says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. And then we found the second thing. We should continue standing and stewarding our spiritual gifts. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards the manifold grace of God. And then we saw number three, we should continue standing in our material goods and being a good steward there. And we found in Luke 16:3, then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. And so we left it off with those thoughts. And that we want to continue today with this. Who's the demonstrator of faithfulness? Now, by the way, all of us have examples that we look to. As a child growing up, when it came to marriage, you know who I looked to? My mother and father. And you know who else I looked to? My grandmother and my grandfather. They demonstrated to me faithfulness. And so I looked to my mom and my dad and their faithfulness to each other. I looked at my grandmother and my grandfather and their faithfulness to each other. And they had been married for ages, it seemed, as a little kid. I mean, I thought they was born married. Amen. That's the way it seemed. And, you know, they had been together for years. And so all of us have an example that we look to when it comes to faithfulness. But for you and I, when it comes to faithfulness, there's no greater person to look to than our Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father. God has always been faithful, and he's the example, he's the epitome of faithfulness. He has never let us down. He has never quit. He has never missed a day. The Bible says he doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. He has always been faithful. So you and I should be faithful for no other reason, because God's faithful. What does he say in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And so you and I should be faithful because God is faithful. So who's the demonstrator of faithfulness and standing faithful? God. By the way, if God stops being faithful, you and I are not going to be saved. Amen. God keeps us saved. And the Bible says we're kept by the power of God. Now, if God stops being faithful, we stop being saved. I'm so glad he doesn't stop. And I'm kept by the power of God. And I can depend on that power to be everlasting, from everlasting to everlasting. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning. He's the end. I can count on him to be faithful. So why should I be faithful? Because God is. Let me read you several verses here about God's faithfulness. And you don't have to turn there because I'm going to read them rather quickly, but you can write these down. What are we talking about? We saw the duty of the faithful, but now we're seeing who's the demonstrator of faithfulness. Of course, God is. Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23. They begin to talk about faithful. God is faithful in his mercies and his compassions. And I'll read it to you, amen, because you may not get there in time. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Notice verse 23. They are new every morning. Notice this. Great is thy, say it with me, thy faithfulness. Amen. We sing the song. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Hey, great is thy faithfulness. Lamentations, let me read it again. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. God is faithful and his mercies and his compassions to you and I. And I praise God that he is. How many of y'all need mercy today? Amen. I need it. How many of y'all need compassion? I need God's compassion. I don't want the compassion of man, because sometimes that's sympathy. Amen. I want God's compassion to know what I need, when I need it, how I need it, where I need it, and why I need it. Man doesn't have that information, so they can be as compassionate as they want to be, but they can only be but so compassionate. They can be as merciful as they want to be, but they can only be but so merciful. But God's mercies and God's compassions fail not. Come over to Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9. The Bible talks about how God is faithful to keep his covenant. It says, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God. Notice this, the faithful God which keepeth covenant. You know what that means? A covenant means that God does the keeping. It's got nothing to do with you. He's going to keep his part whether you keep yours or not. Amen. 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 God's going to keep his part. When it came down to God walking down between the two parts and Abraham walking down there, Abraham fell asleep, but God walked down through there to show that he was going to keep his part. Abraham, you got nothing to do with this, but just believe. God is a covenant-keeping God, and he's faithful to keep his covenants with you and I. Psalm 119 and verse 90 says it this way, thy faithfulness is unto all generations. In other words, he's forever faithful. Think about that. Can you think of somebody that's forever faithful? Forever faithful. I mean, we have childhood friends that we grew up with. And we say, you're going to be my best friend forever until they do something. And then they're your worst friend forever. And we call them our best friend. But God here says, thy faithfulness unto all generations. He's forever faithful. In Psalm 92 and verse 2, it says it this way. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. He's faithful every day. He's faithful every night. You can wake up counting on the goodness of God. You can go to bed counting on the goodness of God. Throughout the day, you know the goodness of God is be there. His mercies will be there. His faithfulness will be there. His compassions are going to be there. Every day I wake up, I know he's faithful. What am I talking about? I want to be faithful because God's faithful. Every day he's faithful. Coming over to the New Testament. First Corinthians. Matter of fact, look at Psalm 121. Psalm 121. We had this as a theme years ago. Psalm 121. And in Psalm 121, notice what it says about our God's faithfulness. Amen. And I'm so glad that it says this. Amen. Because we might not even believe it. Amen. Psalm 121. And he's talking about God's faithfulness and what he does for you and I. Notice verse number verse 3 and 4. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. You know what slumber means? It's like to fall into a sleep. You ever seen folks and they start slumbering? They kind of start about like some of y'all doing right now.
Here we go.
And then you catch the air raids. God doesn't do that. He's always looking at your needs. And he's always looking at my needs. He's not going to slumber. Notice it says, verse 4, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. I'm not going to get drowsy. And I'm not going to sleep. I'm glad I serve a God that never sleeps. Why? That means I can. That means I can go to sleep. Why? Because I got a God that's watching over me. And because my God is watching over me, I can sleep. Sometimes my children, and I'm sure your children are the same way, sometimes all they need is to know that you're there and you're watching over them. And they can see you. They know it's okay. I see mom, I see dad, they're not asleep. And you know, sometimes if you fall asleep on a child, you know what they will do? They'll wake you up. Wake up. I don't want to be by myself, but you're not. I'm right here, but you're asleep. You don't see me. You're slumbering. You're catching air raids. Wake up. Wake up. And you wake up. I'm awake now. And you know what they keep doing? Looking at you to make sure you're awake. You see any movement over there? Is he catching an air raid? Why? They want to make sure that you're not slumbering or you're not asleep. Because God is faithful, I don't have to worry about it. I can sleep good. Why? Because he's not going to slumber. He's faithful to be awake. He's faithful to be on the job. So at any time at the midnight hour when I get that phone call saying so-and-so got hurt or so-and-so passed away or there's a tragedy over here, I can pray and I can know that God is awake. I know he's not slumbering. I know he's not asleep because he doesn't slumber. He doesn't sleep. He's faithful. And I can call him. I can say, oh, Lord, I need your help. Oh, Lord, I need some compassion. Oh, Lord, I need some mercy. Oh, covenant-keeping God, I need you right now. Lord, you're faithful every morning. Lord, you're faithful every night. Coming over to the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 10, 13, the Bible says it this way. There is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. God is faithful. What are you faithful for, Lord, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but with the temptation make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it? He's faithful through your temptations and my temptations, through your trials and my trials. He's faithful to protect you, to give you the way out, to see you through it, even if it means to go through it. Amen. He's always going to make sure he is with you. He is faithful. I serve a faithful God, and so do you. Come over to 2 Thessalonians 3:3. He's faithful to keep us from evil. But the Lord is faithful who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Say, preacher, but I got into evil yesterday. You can go your own way. But he will always tell you, this is the way, walk ye in it. He will always tell you, this is the right way, walk ye in it. In Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. He is a faithful promiser. 1 Peter 4:19, dealing with his faithfulness, he's a faithful creator. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls in to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. The one that I fell in love with the best is 1 John 1:9. As a baby Christian, I had just gotten saved, and I didn't have all the sin purged out of me, and neither do you. And I still don't have all the sin purged out of me, and neither do you. And 1 John 1:9 became my jewel of a verse. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I need forgiveness. I need forgiveness. He's faithful to forgive, but the caveat is if we confess our sins, not going to forgive you of that which you don't confess. Not that he can't, he just won't. Amen. Say, preacher, what if I don't pay my taxes? Uncle Sam will take them anyway. God's not like that. I don't want to pay my taxes, Uncle Sam, so I'm going to take it anyway. God says, you want to keep your sin? Go ahead, keep it. But I have a payment system. It's called Jesus Christ. And he has died for your sins. He was buried and he rose again the third day to forgive your sins. And so if you will confess your sins, if you'll acknowledge your sin, if you'll admit you're a sinner, if you'll admit that you've done wrong, you're not right with God. He is faithful. And I fell in love with that verse. I remember writing it down on a 3x5 card and I stuck it in my wallet. And every time something came up that I find myself sinning, I pulled that out and I said, it still says the same thing. You know what? That was back in February 3rd, 1991 that I got saved. And you know what's still in my Bible? 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Not some, but all. Praise God. Why? We have a faithful God. He's faithful to forgive. Revelations 19, verse 11. I like this one. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, the white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. Faithful and true. Not only is he faithful, he's true. Hallelujah and praise God. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. What am I saying here? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. We have duty, the duty of being faithful to stand in stewarding the gospel and stewarding our spiritual gifts and stewarding our material goods. But also the demonstrator of faithfulness, of course, is God. He's always been faithful and he will continue to be faithful. So let me ask you this question and answer it at the same time. How does God develop faithfulness in you? Well, much the same way you develop faithfulness in your children. I remember when G2 was first born. And my wife and I looked at him in our lazy days. And we said, we can't wait till he gets old enough to go get us some water. We can't wait till he's old enough to go get the remote control. We can't wait till he's old enough to take this and put it in the trash. And he's over there. You better grow up, boy. I got work for you. And we began to do small things. G2, pick up your toy and put it back over there. Sometimes he would get an attitude like, I don't want to. G2. What are you saying? Leave me alone. Come here, G2. I don't want to, but I know the consequences. You come over there. You know what we were doing? We were developing him faithfulness. When you hear our voice, you need to respond. When we call you, you need to come. And when you come, we've got something for you to do. I want you to go do this. I want you to do that. And we begin to develop in him faithfulness. And by the way, sometimes he does things on his own now. Get up, get his Bible, start getting his devotions. Get over there and wake up Joshua. Joshua, time to get up. Joshua's like me. Joshua's a hard sleeper. But what happened? We're developing in him faithfulness. And the same way faithfulness is developed in children, God develops it in Christians. By the way, when you get to your job, man uses the same system. They don't give you the keys to the building right away. They don't give you the company car right away. They check your faithfulness. Luke chapter 16 and verse number 10. We were here last week. Let's go back there. Luke 16. How does God develop faithfulness in us? And if we're going to continue being faithful, how does God develop it? How can we picture it? How can we see it? Luke 16:10. We do the same thing with our children and little responsibilities equaling bigger responsibility, picking things up and putting things back. And notice Luke 16 in verse number 10, speaking of wealth here and our utilization of wealth. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in how much? Much. But notice what it says. And he that is unjust in least is unjust also in much. Come down to verse 11. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you, to your trust, the true riches? So in other words, he says, if you're not going to be faithful in a little bit, who's going to give you more? Who's going to give you more of what you have? Think about it. Why do you get bonuses and raises at your job? You get a bonus because you've been faithful. Why do you get a raise? Because you've been faithful. They don't give you a bonus and a raise for being slothful. You know what they give you for that? A pink slip. They fire you for that. They don't keep you around, but if you're faithful, they say, hey, look, you've been faithful. Here's a bonus. Here's a little bit more. Hey, you've been faithful. Here's a raise. Here's a little bit more. Because you've been faithful with a little bit you have, let me give you a little bit more. But if you've not been faithful, you're not going to get any more. Praise God and hallelujah. God does the same way. He says, if you're going to handle some things here in a wise way, then I can give you some more. Verse 12, and if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Amen. That's a good question. One of the things about Shining Light Baptist Church, to get involved in ministry, one of the first things is I've got to be saved. I've got to be a member of the Shining Light Baptist Church. You know what else we say? I must be faithful. Why? Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. I've got to depend on you to be here. One of the first things across the board is faithfulness. Can I depend on you to be here? We told the children, you memorize the scripture, Katie can give you some candy. You know why I picked Katie? Katie's always here early. She's faithful. I can depend on her to be here. I can set my clock by her. And I know she's going to be here. So she's got the candy. And you say, but she's got a job. But I told her she can eat some of the candy too. So she's been faithful and she got rewarded with some candy. And guess what? The kids come to her to get the candy. They know who's got the goods. What I'm talking about, faithfulness. Faithfulness. He says, if you've not been faithful with that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? We have to be proven. God develops faithfulness in us little by little. He doesn't give it to you all at once, but little by little. Children go to school. They learn 1 + 1 = 2. But first, they've got to learn their numbers. 1, 2, 3, 4. They learn how to read and write. But first, they've got to know A, B, C, D. They've got to be able to identify the characters little by little. And as we give them a little, then we graduate them to more and more. God does the same thing. God develops your faithfulness and my faithfulness little by little. As we're faithful with a little, he gives us more. If you can't handle what you have, he doesn't give you any more. Amen. Preacher, I don't like that. That's God's economy. If you're not faithful with a little bit, he's not going to give you any more. Why do you think Joshua got promoted? He was faithful. Why did Moses get picked? He was faithful. Why did Joseph get picked? He was faithful. Why did Paul get picked? He was faithful. On and on and on go. If you go to Daniel, Daniel was faithful. And we're going to look at some of those characters here in just a minute. Amen. And so what's the duty of the faithful? It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Continue standing faithful in stewarding the gospel, stewarding our spiritual gifts, and stewarding our material goods. But also, who's the demonstrator of faithfulness? God is, of course. He's forever faithful. How does God develop our faithfulness? He develops it by us working little by little. He gives us responsibilities and we increase. Go over to Luke 19 since we're in 16. Amen. Luke 19 and verse 17. You do your children the same way. They do you the same way at your job. Amen. And on your basketball court, they do the same thing. Luke 19 and verse number 17. Notice what he says down here. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very, how much? Little. Have thou authority over what? 10 cities. He said, you have a little. Let me give you a little bit more. What am I saying? That's how God develops faithfulness in you and in I, little by little. So if we're going to be faithful, if we want to be faithful, what examples do we have? Of course, we have Jesus Christ. He's the greatest example. He's the greatest example that you and I can observe. And we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. But there's some other biblical characters that keep their eyes on Jesus as well. And just for a second, let me read you several scriptures of some people that have been faithful and see what they did. If we're faithful, what are other disciples that have been faithful? These are all notable names. You and I know them. We can observe them. We know Jesus has been faithful, and he's our primary example. But there have been some others that are a little bit more like us. You say, preacher, what do you mean a little bit more like us? They're sinners. Jesus is perfect. But some people that were faithful that were like you and I who were sinners, they were faithful too. Preacher, who's the first one? First one is Moses. Numbers 12 and verse number 7. Of course, we know what Moses is noted for. In Numbers 12, 7, it was said of Moses, my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful. Notice that. Faithful in all mine house. We know of another character named David, 1 Samuel 22 and verse 14. It was said of David by some of the workers around him. Then Ahimelech answered the king and said, who is so faithful among all thy servants as David? So Moses was faithful, and Moses was a sinner. Moses smote the rock twice. Moses killed an Egyptian. David committed adultery. David had a man killed. But guess what David was? Faithful. Faithful. Who does God look for when he's trying to find a man after his own heart? David. He said, I found me a man after my own heart. David, he was faithful. Moses, he was faithful. I'll show you a couple other names that you and I can look at that were faithful. Daniel, chapter 6 and verse 4. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault for as much as he was faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. Why? Daniel was faithful. What am I saying? These are people that you and I can look at. What happened? Daniel knew the decree was signed. You know what Daniel did? He still prayed. He was faithful. Coming over to the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 4:17, a guy by the name of Timothy. 1 Corinthians 4:17, for this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, Paul said. Galatians 3:9, we find the man by the name of Abraham. Then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. And then even Paul himself in 1 Timothy 1:12. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me for that he counted me faithful. What am I saying? We have a list of people that although they were sinners, they were still faithful. Did Paul have his bad points and his good points? Yes. Daniel? Yes, although we don't know of them. Moses, David, Abraham. Abraham lied about his wife. All these men were sinners, but yet and still God says these men were faithful. That encourages me. That lets me know that on my best day and on my worst day, I can still be faithful. I can still be faithful to God. I may have some letdowns. I may have some sins. I may have something that besets me, but I can still be faithful. There's no excuse for me not to be faithful. There's no excuse for you not to be faithful. We have everything we need. We serve the same God.
Amen.
Amen. We serve the God of Abraham. We serve the God of Isaac and Jacob. We serve the God of David, the God of Moses, the God of Daniel, the God of Paul, the God of Timothy. We serve the God of Silas. We serve the same God. And so if they were faithful, I can be faithful. Why? Because he's faithful. And he's faithful. He can keep me faithful. One of the things that keeps us from being unfaithful is our own sinful hearts. Say, preacher, what do you mean? We just don't want to be. Come on now, help me out. You know it's true. We have another agenda other than God's agenda. And I want my agenda more than I want God's agenda, so I don't want to be faithful to God because I want to do what I want to do. Don't look at me like I'm crazy. You know it's true. What other excuse can we come up with for being unfaithful to God? Say, preacher, how do you know it? Because I'm guilty too. We all fall in the same boat. My wife sent me a devotion yesterday about faithfulness. How often do we wake up in the morning and we make our to-do list? And we've never asked God what his to-do list was for us. We make our own to-do list and say, okay, God, bless this mess. Instead of saying, God, what do you want me to do? And let God start putting some things down. And then say, okay, God, your list looks better than my list. But you know, we look at God's list sometimes, we say, God, your list looks harder than my list. And I don't want that list. I got to actually tell somebody about Jesus today. I got to actually pray today. I got to actually read my Bible today. I got to be kind to my brother and my sister today. I got to love people today. I got to put away bitterness today. I got to stop lying today. Man, I already had my excuse to call my boss up and tell him I wasn't coming in today because I didn't feel well. Amen. What am I saying here? These are disciples that have been faithful. Moses, Daniel, David, Timothy, Abraham, Paul, Silas, and the list goes on and on. There's a few things, though, that the Bible says not just people are faithful, but there's some things that are faithful. Go in your Bible with me for a moment. Proverbs chapter 27. This is one of those things that we don't like. Proverbs 27. Some things that are faithful. Proverbs 27 and verse 6. These are some descriptions or things that are faithful. And the first one we don't like. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Sometimes we just don't like that. Don't tell me the truth. But you know, a loyal friend will correct you. A loyal parent will correct a son or a daughter. Well, I love them too much not to correct them. Then you don't love them at all. You don't love them at all. If you leave a child to themselves, they will do what their sinful heart tells them to do. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. The Bible says the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. A friend will correct you when you're wrong, and the wounds will heal. A person that's deceitful, they have some sweet things to say, but it's not going to help you at all in life. It's not going to help you in your spiritual walk. Parents, start correcting your children early. Give them a wound that's going to heal. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Some things are faithful, but let me give you a caveat with that. Make sure you're speaking the truth in love. Let me read you Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse 15 in regards to this thing called the truth, because the truth can hurt, but it's all in how you say it. Ephesians 4 and verse 15. I'm sorry, it says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, speaking the truth in love. Let me give you some thoughts about speaking the truth. If you're going to be faithful and you're going to give wounds that are going to help and not hurt. Number one, if you're going to be faithful in this thing, if you're going to stand faithful in the coming year, make sure of how you say it. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. I don't care if it's to your children. I don't care if it's to your boss. I don't care who you say it. Watch how you say it. How you say what you say can hurt and not help. It's all in how you say it. And then we have that pious attitude. Well, I just told them the truth. Well, if you told them like that, I wouldn't accept it either. Well, I just tell them to help them out some. Well, with a spirit like that, you about blew them out the water. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. There's some things that are faithful. So number one, ask yourself, how did I say it? Or how should I say it? Then ask yourself the second question. Ask God when you should say it. Sometimes you shouldn't say it. How do I say it? When do I say it? So you can say the truth at the wrong time, and it will not be received because of how you said it. And then thirdly, not only how we say it, when we say it, but where we say it. where we say it. See, I can speak the truth and not have it received because of how I said it and when I said it and where I said it. Amen. By the way, there's certain things you should not say around your children to your husband or wife, even though it's the truth. There's certain things you shouldn't say around certain people, even though it's the truth. Why? It's how I say it, it's when I say it, and it's where I say it, even though it's the truth. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. A friend is going to take these things into consideration. Well, there's another one. How I say it, when I say it, where I say it, why I say it. Ask yourself this question. Is it to help them to be better for Christ? 1 Corinthians 10:31 still says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all what? To the glory of God. When, how I say it, when I say it, where I say it, and why I say it, is it for the glory of God that I'm saying it, or is it to shame someone, or to show them up, or to make myself look better because I said it? See, faithful are the wounds of a friend, and it will always help. But there are certain things that if I'm not careful in this faithfulness of how I say the truth, when I say the truth, where I say the truth, and why I say the truth, and to whom I say the truth, it's going to backfire. Some folks are just not going to receive the truth. Is it to shame someone? Is it to show them up? Is it to show off? Or does it make me look better? See, there are certain things we should be faithful in, and we like to pride ourselves on being a church that stands on the truth, and that's good, and we ought to. But there's a time, a way, a place to tell people the truth if you want it received. Because if you don't say it right, they won't receive it. And you're saying, well, I told them the truth. But how'd you tell them? Was it for the glory of God? Or was it to shame them? Was it to show them up or to make yourself look better? Was it to show off and show your knowledge? How we say it. When we say it, where we say it, why we say it, to whom we say it. By the way, we're living in a day and age where authority is becoming less and less liked amongst men. Whether it's the president, the vice president, whether it's your boss at your job, whether it's parents at home, and yes, even in the church. We don't care how we say what we say to who. We really just don't care. I don't care if they are the president. I don't care if they are the vice president. I don't care if they are a teacher. I don't care if they are my parents. I don't care who they are. I don't care. I don't have a respect for authority. All in how I say it. Where I say it. Why I say it. When I say it. What's my motive? Ask yourself that question. Because the Bible says faithful are the wounds of a friend. How I say it. Well, some other things that are faithful. Proverbs 14:5. You're back just a couple chapters. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 5. So we can look at Daniel, we can look at Noah, we can look at Moses and Timothy and Abraham and all these, but when the rubber meets the road, we have to be faithful as well. And faithful are the wounds of a friend. Proverbs 14:5. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. What's my witness like? Am I telling the truth? Am I being honest about what I'm saying? A faithful witness will not lie. What am I saying? These are some things that are faithful. By the way, if Christians, and we're not known for anything else, we ought to be known for truth. If we're not known for anything else, we should be known for telling the truth. It's not profitable for Christians to lie to each other. The Bible really clearly, lie not one to another. Why? We are members one of another. So that's like me lying to my hand. It's a part of my body. A lion to my foot. You don't really hurt. You just think you're hurt. Get with it. Truth be known, it actually does. A faithful witness will not lie. Proverbs 11:13 says, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. What am I saying? Something else we should be faithful in. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. A faithful witness will not lie. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. A talebearer taking things from one person to the next, bearing that tale here and there and everywhere. We'll close with this one. Psalm 101, verse 6. Mine eyes should be upon the faithful of the land. David said, when it comes down to it, I'm not going to concern myself with those that are unfaithful. I'm just going to witness to them and try to help them out. But the main ones that I'm going to focus on are going to be the faithful. The faithful. The faithful. You know, I've listened to many different preachers and different books and read things, and they have one thing that's consistent. They say you try to reach the wayward. You try to get those folks involved. They're not involved. You try to get them. But if you don't spend time trying to get the faithful where they need to be, you have lost everything, because the faithful are the ones that's going to get somebody else. Spend time with the faithful. Try to get them excited. They then in turn can reach someone else. Because if you spend all of your time trying to reach the faithful are neglected. And eventually the faithful become unfaithful. Because nobody cares. I like what the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who should be able to teach others also. What am I talking about? Folks, we live in a day and age where nobody wants to be faithful. I frequent several places, and it seems like every time I go, there's somebody new there. Brother Hall, we go to the barbershop, get the boy's hair cut. It seems like there's always a new barber. And I said, where's the other guy at? Oh, he quit. Where's the other person? They quit. They quit. So you got one guy who's getting all the business because everybody else quit. And the others that are coming in, of course, you know how barbers are. If you don't know them, you don't want them to mess with your head unless you got one like mine. Amen. And they can't mess mine up. But if you got somebody you're trusting, you want that one. And we had several, and we went through these several, and this one has been faithful. And I said, where'd everybody go? He said, we can't keep a barber here. They're not faithful. They're not faithful. At your job, I'm sure it's the same way. You can't keep employment these days. Everybody's moving from job to job to job to job to job. In relationships, we can't keep people faithful in one marriage. They got to go from person to person to person to person to person to person. We just can't keep people faithful. But folks, the Bible says it's required in stewards that you and I, let a man be found faithful. You know, once you find a faithful person, you don't want to let him go. I remember working over at the Copper Top on DM, and my colonel, he would not let me go. I said, well, colonel, there's an opportunity over here for me to excel in my career, and I can do this and this. And he said, I'm not going to let you go. And his reason was this: I might get somebody that's not faithful like you. And he said, I can't let you go. I said, so I'm going to be penalized for being faithful? Maybe that's why so many people are unfaithful. They look at what happens to unfaithful people. Well, I can move around and do this, but when you become faithful, folks want to keep you close. They want to keep you close. When you become unfaithful, nobody wants you close. And that's the society we have right now. Nobody wants to be close to anybody because you might let me down. You might hurt me. You're not going to be faithful. I don't want to be close to anybody. Just I know you're going to leave. I know you're going to quit. You'll work here 2 weeks. You'll be gone. You'll work here 3 weeks. You'll be gone. You'll work here a couple years. You'll be gone. You work here, you know, 5 years. You'll be gone. I'm not going to even... They don't even give you pensions no more at most jobs because they know you're not going to be there. What am I saying here? Faithful. Folks, we're not known for anything else. You and I should be known for standing faithful. This year is coming to a close. And we've talked all year, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Be able to stand. Be able to withstand. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He's relentless. And you know one thing that the devil is? Faithful. He's faithful to make you fall if he can. He's not going to give up. He wants you to be a quitter. He doesn't want you to stand. He doesn't want you to stand the rest of this year. And he definitely doesn't want you to stand next year. That's why the Bible is clear. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand an evil day. And having done all to stand. But be careful. There's certain things that you and I have to make sure that we're faithful in. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. How I say it. We want to encourage each other, not discourage each other. It's how I say it, when I say it, where I say it, why I say it, to whom I say it. Is it to shame someone? Is it to help them? You know, sometimes we're ignorant. I remember years ago talking to a young Christian. I had been saved for several years. And this guy had just gotten saved. And I told him the truth. But I said in a very ugly way. A way that I didn't think was ugly, but it was very caustic. It was very law-abiding. And I didn't take into consideration little by little. And because he had something a certain way, and I didn't agree with how it was, and because I was in charge of the ministry, I blew him out of the water. And God smote my heart. God said, how dare you do that? How dare you talk to that brother like that? How dare you go and tell him that without even asking any questions? And God spoke my heart. I had to go back to that brother and apologize to him. And I said, I am sorry for the way I said that. And I am sorry how I said that. And I am sorry where I said that. Because I said it in front of people. And God said, you're wrong. You're dead wrong. And then once I got that thing right, God said, you need to set a watch before your lips. You need to make sure you're obedient to what I'm telling you to do first. What am I saying? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. After I got that right, I could talk to him about just about anything. But I had to deal with that. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. You and I want to stand this year faithful. We want to continue this year faithful. We want to end this year faithful. Why? God is faithful. He's the demonstrator of faithfulness. Why? We have a duty to be faithful. How does God develop our faithfulness? By little and by little. Who are some of the discipleships of faithfulness? Moses, David, Daniel, Timothy, Abraham, Noah, Paul, Silas. On and on we could go. The descriptions of faithfulness. We looked at faithful witness will not lie. Talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Commit to faithful men. I don't know about you, but I want to end this year faithful. I don't want to be a quitter. I want to be a casualty. Say, preacher, what do you want to be faithful in? Everything. As a father, as a Christian, as a pastor, as a friend, as a brother, I want to be faithful. Am I perfect? No. But I do know God works with me by little and little, the same way he works with you. And you ask God as well to help you to be faithful. There's a real devil waiting for us not to stand, waiting for us not to withstand, waiting for us not to do all that we can to stand. Therefore, we must put on the whole armor of God. If we don't, we will be a spiritual war casualty and we'll be out of commission. Don't let it happen to you. Maybe today you're here without Christ. You need to be saved. God loves you. Jesus died for you. He was buried and rose again the third day so that you could be saved. And if that's you today, would you come at the invitation? Let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. Maybe you need to be baptized. Maybe you need to come forward to be baptized. Perhaps you need to join a good, independent, fundamental Bible-believing church. Maybe you need to come join this church. Maybe God's spoken to you about your faithfulness in some area. Maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, I surrender that area. Help me to be faithful in that which you want me to be. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed and we're looking around. Father, thank you for your goodness in my life. Thank you for being faithful to me. Lord, forgive me for the times when I've been unfaithful, whether it's been unfaithful in my prayer life, unfaithful in my witnessing life, unfaithful in my servant's life. Lord, whatever area of unfaithfulness I've been, forgive me. And Lord, help me to continue to stand faithful. I know I have not arrived. And I know I have areas that I need to have you work on. And perhaps under the sound of my voice, there's someone like me. They know they've got some things that they need to work on. And Lord, I pray you would prick the heart of that man, that woman, that boy or girl. Show them what they need to be faithful in and what they need to continue standing faithful in. In Jesus' name. Amen. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, no one looking around. How many would be honest to say, preacher, if the truth be known, I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. And if I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. But I am concerned about it. Would you please lift me up in prayer at the conclusion of this service? And right where you're at, every head is bowed and every eye is closed, no one looking around. You'd raise your hand saying, preacher, would you pray for me? I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I am concerned about it. Pray for me. I'm not sure. Man, woman, boy, or girl, wherever you're at. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. If I died right now, I'm not sure heaven is my home, but I'm concerned. Please pray for me. Right where you're at, just lift your hand up. I'll acknowledge it, and you can put it right back down. Are you sure you're on your way to heaven? Are you sure? Not about religion. It's not about joining a church. It's not about being baptized. Have you received Christ as the forgiveness of your sins and repented? Anyone like that at all? You'd raise your hand. Pray for me, preacher. Next question is this. Perhaps God spoke in your heart about some area of your faithfulness you need to work on. I'm going to be honest and say, preacher, God spoke to my heart about some area of my faithfulness, and God being my witness, I want to do something about it today. And you'd raise your hand. God spoke to me in some area of faithfulness. God, my witness, I want to do something about it. I want to end this year well. Amen. Hands going up all over the place. Amen. You may put them down. And lastly, how many would say, I've been faithful thus far, and I want to end faithful, and I want to continue faithful. Preacher, pray that I can end faithful and not falter and not fall. Pray for me, preacher. Anyone like that at all? I've been faithful thus far. I want to continue. I want to continue. Amen. 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 You may put them down. Father, you see the hands that have been raised. Lord, there is someone that did not raise their hand knowing they need to receive Christ. Lord, burden the heart of that man, that woman, that boy or girl. And these that said that there's an area that you pointed out to them today, Lord, help them to, with your grace and your mercy, be faithful in that area that you have pointed out to them. And then those, Lord, that say they want to continue faithful, sustain them, help them to fall upon your grace and rely upon your grace to keep them going throughout this year and into the next, and uphold them with your righteousness. Bless now this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and we're looking around. Let's stand to our feet as the music plays. Maybe God spoke in your heart. You need to come. As the piano plays, would you move from your space? Let God deal with your heart. Maybe you didn't raise your hand saying that you're not sure about heaven, but God spoke in your heart. You said, I need to be saved, and I'm not sure. Would you move? Come and let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved today. Or perhaps there's an area of your life that you would say, God pointed something out today and I need to continue being faithful. In that area, maybe it's at your job. Maybe it's in your home. Maybe it's in your school. Maybe it's in your community. Maybe it's with a relationship, husband or wife, son or daughter, relative that you have. Maybe it's in the area of just being a witness. Maybe the area of faithfulness is in your giving, your stewardship. Maybe the area is your spiritual gift, what you know God has gifted you with. Maybe it's your material goods. We've seen there so many disciples of faithfulness. We've seen that God is faithful. And I want you and I to be faithful. We preached all year long about standing. Would you stand? Continue to stand. Be willing to stand. If you're not sure of heaven, would you come? Let us take a Bible and show you how you can be born again today. Won't they put a few minutes of your time to show you how you can be saved? Perhaps you're already saved. You need a good church. And you need to get baptized. Would you come? Let us show you what baptism is all about and what it does. Or perhaps you've already been saved and baptized. You need to join a good fundamental church. Maybe you need to come and say, preacher, this is for me. This is for me. Maybe there's just something that you know God has spoken in your heart about this morning, and you need to do it. Would you do it? Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. Thank you for being faithful to me these 54 years of my life. And over half of those years I've been saved. just about it. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness. Pray you might continue to allow me to be faithful. I know it's not of me, it's not in me. But I thank you that you've shown me men that are sinners just like me that have been faithful despite of their lives. And thank you that most of all I can look to Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. And I have a God who's been faithful from the beginning and will continue to be faithful to the end and last throughout eternity. And so, Lord, help me to be faithful as a husband, as a pastor, as a father, as a friend, as a brother. Help me to end faithful and begin a new year faithful. Thank you, Lord, that we can stand because you have enabled us to stand. Lord, bless these that came to an old-fashioned altar. Grant them the petitions they desired of thee according to thy will. And Lord, help us to stand faithful like so many other saints have stood before us. Bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor White's got our closing announcement. It's going to tell us what's coming up. And we'll dismiss us in a word of prayer.